Hey guys, Tim Miller from The Bulwark here with managing editor Sam Stein. The Trump-Musk breakup is official. There is a lot of drama that is leaking out into the media. There's a huge Wall Street Journal takeout where Trump says Elon's a little boy.
And no, 50% Musk, boy.
50% boy, kind of 50%. Like Pinocchio. And then there's a CBS Sunday Morning interview that Elon did that is super awkward where he heavily implies he's got some issues with Donald as well. So I want to break this all down with you, Sam. But first, let's just play a little clip from CBS.
The interview didn't get off to a smooth start.
I noticed that all of your businesses involve a lot of components, a lot of parts. Do the tariffs and the trade wars affect any of this?
Tariffs always affect things a little bit.
Wondering what your thought is on the ban on foreign students, the proposal. I mean, you were one of those kids, right?
Yeah, I mean, I think we want to stick to, you know, the subject of the day, which is like spaceships, as opposed to, you know, presidential policy.
Oh, okay. Yeah. I was told anything's good, but
no, well, no.
Musk doesn't seem like he's thrilled about the tariffs. And then when it comes to the student visas, something that Musk took advantage of for foreign students,
right?
He gets real awk.
Well, the whole thing was awkward. Like, even the interviewer was like, awkward about it. He's like, I thought we were supposed to talk about that.
Played that part of the interview, actually.
Oh, I loved
where
it.
The interviewer,
I loved it. Yeah. No, I loved it. That was fascinating to me. It's like two people who are like pretty introverted being like, wait, I thought we were going to talk about that. No, I thought you weren't going to talk about that. And be like, wait, did we not coordinate this? And it's just like, guys, just get on with it. No, Musk is clearly uncomfortable about a lot of things too. It's just like when they actually went through the list of things, tariffs, student visas, just sort of general disposition, attitude towards foreign students. You could tell he's just sort of like, I don't know. I didn't really want to talk about this. It's uncomfortable. I don't agree with this. And then they kind of get on with it.
Yeah. Musk is physically uncomfortable too in the thing.
Physically uncomfortable. Yeah, yeah.
He's like kind of squirming. Yeah. He has the black eye still. Which is
interesting. I noticed that. I did notice that. I still don't believe the explanation. I think it's ridiculous.
Yeah, no, I was just horsing around with Lilex, and I said, go ahead, punch me in the face. And he did. Turns out even a five-year-old punching you in the face actually does.
That was accidental.
Yeah.
The idea that you're going to turn to your five-year-old and say, hey, punch me in the face. I would never do that, ever.
I mean, I've gotten smoked in the face by my child. I
sure.
Also will tell a personal story right now that I probably shouldn't tell. But in college, I showed up to my grandfather's funeral with like a stitched up chin. And that is because I was a sophomore in college and didn't know what the hell I was doing and drank a bunch of gin and fell down the stairs two nights before my grandfather's funeral. And, I told my mother some story about how I had, you know, I don't remember what the fib was, but let me tell you, she wasn't buying it, because when you're partying all the time, like she knew I was, sometimes you get unidentified party wounds. But I guess my point is, if you combine the New York Times reporting about the extremely, extremely heavy ketamine usage,
yes,
with the black eye, it calls into question the child story, I guess. If it was, I don't know, if it was Mitt Romney that said, hey, I have a black eye because my grandchild punched me in the face, I'd be like, I guess that sounds weird, though. They roughhouse the Mormons' roughhouse. That's possible.
No, because that's not the story. The story is I turned to my child and said, hey, punch me in the face, which doesn't make any sense. Why would you do that? Unless, in fact, you were on drugs.
Yeah, maybe it sounded fun.
Okay.
Who knows what else is in that pill box? Okay. So the interview goes on. Elon is awkward at the beginning, says he doesn't want to talk about anything except spaceships. 50% boy. I thought we were just here to talk about my trucks. But in the follow-up question, as we get into kind of what is happening, what happened with Doge and what is happening on the Hill with the reconciliation bill, he shows a little more leg. Let's watch that.
And it's not like I agree with everything the administration does. So it's like, I agree with much of what the administration does, but we have differences of opinion. There are things that I don't entirely agree with. It's difficult for me to bring that up in an interview, because then it creates a bone of contention. So then I'm a little stuck in a bind where I'm like, well, I don't want to you know, speak out against the administration, but I don't want to, also don't want to take responsibility for everything the administration is doing.
All right, Sam, what do you think?
So it's interesting. I don't want to say I'm like, well, I am a little bit understanding of what he's saying here. When you're part of an administration, look, it's every administration. When you're part of the administration, your job is to support the administration, right? Like, that's what you do. You're not going to go out and publicly say, actually, no, I disagree with it. And in fact, it was when Elon did go out publicly with opposition to certain things that, you know, it became highly controversial, right? Like, he was very clear that he didn't support the tariffs.
I hope it is agreed that both Europe and the United States should move, ideally, in my view, to a zero tariff situation, effectively creating a free trade zone between Europe and North America.
It was evident that he was fighting with cabinet officials. And we'll get to that when we talk about this Wall Street Journal story. So, you know, he is being, I think there's some sincerity to the idea that, no, I was in this uncomfortable bond. I couldn't speak out. That said, he enabled this. I mean, he is the chief enabler of all this. He funded the campaign to a degree that no one else has done in history. So the fact that he ended up with these non-inconsequential outcomes that he himself doesn't approve of is, you know, it says a lot. It says a lot about how off the rails this whole thing got.
Yeah. I don't want to take responsibility for everything the administration's doing. Too late, bro.
Yeah, that's the problem.
I mean, like, too late, bro. I'm sorry. That's not how this works.
You are responsible. You funded this. You got him over the finish line. You enabled this. You turned X into a platform that just absolutely spewed all his stuff. Like, this is your product.
You're and jumping around on stage. You have a dark MAGA hat. You're jumping around, showing off your belt. You're at campaign rallies. Like, it'd be one thing if you're like, oh, you're a donor that, you know, went to one fundraiser and maxed out. And you're like, you know, I preferred this candidate to the other candidate. And so I don't feel responsible for everything. Like, that's what a traditional rich person, like a traditional rich person's engagement with politics. That's not what Elon did. Elon was the wingman. Like, Elon was the shadow president when he got in there. And on the way in, he gave more money than anybody in history to the Trump campaign in order to put him in there. And so when you do that, when you put the fucking brand on your head and you fund the campaign and then you go into the White House and you sleep there, like, you own it all.
And he lent them his credibility, which is not a small matter, right? Like, he was Mr., you know, new tech, big money, Silicon Valley, all that stuff. And he was a way that other people could rationalize getting on board Trump.
Yes.
And so he enabled this more than any human being other than Donald Trump himself.
Yes. And we talk so much about the manosphere and, like, young men who don't pay attention. Like, a lot of them, like, really are impressed with Elon for some good reasons for some of the things Elon has done in his past. Like, he had this huge fan base that he had built.
Yeah.
And not all of them were MAGA, right? Like, a lot of the Elon
were
non-political. Like, it was not like a Charlie Kirk style, like college Republican fan base. It was a different crowd, and he brought them into the tent. And he has total responsibility for all that. A lot of the stuff that he did himself is actually some of the worst stuff the administration's done. So he's
But there's like a cascading effect here, right? It's like when he got on board, it convinced like that all in podcast crew that, oh, actually this is okay. Like, this is acceptable. It convinced people who were fans of H-1B visas, for instance, like, okay, we can get along because we have the guy who understands this stuff. It convinced the tech world, hey, this is actually a person who will like be our advocate. It convinced crypto bros and all that things like, okay, we have smart people in the tent. Yeah. And then that gives, you know, an incredible boost to Trump to do whatever he wants. But it doesn't let Elon off the hook. In fact, it puts him on the hook for this.
Yeah. You know, I did write a book about this.
Pump it.
There is a trend that is just goes across a lot of people throughout Washington who got involved with Trump, who got involved in politics, who thought that they could use Trump and manipulate Trump to their end.
Never works.
That they could jump on the bandwagon and kind of, you know, be bumpers around it, or, you know, push him in a direction that would advance their objectives. And it didn't work for anybody. And actually, we saw two examples this week. The person that was probably the most successful at that was Leonard Leo, the Federal Society guy, because Trump really didn't care about judges. And so he was able to put his judges through. And Trump turned on him finally, too, sending out a bleat, shitting on Leonard Leo. And now and that's just like the reality. It's Trump's show. And if you get on
maybe
board,
maybe the only one is Stephen Miller, honestly. But that's just because they aligned.
Yeah, exactly. Okay, let's get into the Trump side of the drama, of the split, the Real Housewives split here in the White House. And this is this Wall Street Journal article. A lot of interesting stuff in there. Yeah. What's jumped out to you?
So, article's fascinating. This is where we got the 50% genies, 50% boy ratio. In fact, there's another proposed ratio in there, which is 90% genies, 10% boy. I'll get your take on what the right ratio is after this. But to me, what stands out about this article, and I encourage people to read it, is that and it's like almost in between lines, but it just hits you. It's like they basically let this dude, Elon, kind of like run amok. And he was doing things without telling anybody. Like he was cutting, you know, across agencies without telling anybody, including the chief of staff. And I'm not really sure how that works. Like he's just like, you're fired. And like, that's it. I mean, it was just kind of, it must have been utter chaos. He went into a cabinet meeting and was just bitching about, you know, the damage that was happening to Tesla and somehow convinced Pam Bondi to like just, you know, put a ton of DOJ resources into protecting his own private company. I mean, think about that for a second. Like he got the actual attorney general to sort of refocus on his own private company. That's like deeply scandalous in a way. And then the Sam Altman announcement where he, you know, he threw a hissy fit because we're going to do this AI deal with his arch nemesis. And he got so pissed off about it that like the president had to like intervene and delay the announcement and like make sure that Sam Altman wasn't involved in it. Again, like I know we're sort of callous to this, but like that's crazy to me. That's crazy to me that you can have an individual with such clear conflicts of interest absolutely re-engineer government policy around his own hissy fits and, you know, bottom line. And he did that repeatedly.
The thing that struck me, well, on that part, was did you see the exchange with the fight with Besant?
No.
Like that confrontation with him and Besant that had been previously reported on. There's some more details. Scott Besant apparently called him out in front of Trump and said, you promised us $1 trillion in cuts and now you're at like $100 billion and nobody can find anything. What are you doing? And that's when Elon got physical. It's a sure physical subject with him. Yeah, that's when Elon started to like get up in his grill. Like they're going to have a man fight. It just shows a person that's totally like off the
rails.
I would
absolutely pay to see that.
And then Trump, and that leads us back to the lead of the journal story is that Trump basically like asking other officials internally, like, was all Elon did bullshit? Was it all bullshit?
Yeah.
Like, so to your point, like he is so out on his own doing all the stuff without asking the approvals. And now Trump is like in classic Trump, like CYA trying to protect himself mode.
Yeah.
It's just like, I don't even believe that anything happened, which is like the sad part is a bunch of bad shit happened actually.
Oh yeah, totally. There, I think the one graph in the journal piece that sort of summarizes everything to me was, I'll just read it. Cause it's like, if you actually step back and think about it, it's kind of hilarious. He goes, Trump disliked how critical Musk was toward cabinet secretaries and his public attacks on trade advisor Peter Navarro, who Musk called a moron and said was dumber than a sack of bricks. One of the officials said Trump was surprised at how nasty Musk was in one cabinet meeting toward other members of his administration. Like you shouldn't call your other advisor or more in public. It's like if you're too hot for Trump, you know, it's like something's going.
Did Peter Ritardo not make it to Trump? Because that was another thing that Musk tweeted. It is fun. It's so funny. The Trump thing is like
Trump's like, whoa,
it's like this is a little gauche. Okay, yeah. It's like, all right, we only talk this way about Democrats. All right, like, exactly. You know, and the fake news media. All right,
don't do it in house. Don't do it in house, buddy. Meanwhile, Trump's calling Leonard Leo like scum and shit. It's like, come on.
Sloppy Steve Bannon. Trump's like, I'm the only one that gets to make up childish nicknames. What are you doing?
Maybe that was the problem, is Elon was just too much like Trump. And he's just like, no, we can't have two of these.
It's the interesting thing for me And every time we've talked about this, the like Musk-Trump fallout, I was always like, the one element about Musk that's different than these other guys is that like he like a full frontal war could really be damaging to Trump. Yeah. Like if Musk decided he wanted to go full fuck you. And so yeah. It's interesting to kind of see them a little bit. It's like a dance right now, dance. A little bit. We're like, you know, where Musk is kind of doing that. Well, I wouldn't want to attack you.
Him,
you
Tim,
know, I
don't he gave him the key to the White House. Did yeah. you see the key to the White House? Yeah. Like this useless fucking gold key that Elon Musk is going to probably toss aside or something. Like,
exactly what go, Trump Elon. Would want to get.
Yeah, exactly. Thing.
It was a gift to himself. Give me a gaudy gold fake key that I can put up in my office. So anyway, it'll be interesting to continue to monitor all that. Sam, sure. Any other final takes?
No, I think you're right about that one. I noted in Ro Khanna when he was doing one Bulwark Tick last week. I mean, he was talking about how they need to Democrats should strategically use Elon for this purpose. He wants to bring Elon back into the fold. Not sure Democrats are ready for that yet. But yeah, that to me is interesting. Like, will Elon get totally combustible about this? Will he just go full on like attack on Trump? Probably not, because I think there's still some goodwill there. But that's something they got to watch out for. And Elon has not paid the $100 million check that he apparently is supposed to give to their political action committee. So that's a lot of money.
All right. Subscribe to the feed, people. And if you missed me and Sam yesterday, if you took Sunday off from the news and you missed Sam and I talking about Joni Ernst's psychotic cemetery video, go check that out too in this feed and tell your friends. And we'll be seeing y'all soon.